Crosby.
Mom!
Eminem is a hip-hop artist, a rap artist, who has come out in various publications, I think at least one, and allegedly has made some claims, made some statements about his mother, about the possibility that she was drugged out, about the fact that he grew up on welfare. He moved from crib to crib, meaning house to house, not just little crib to crib. Maybe she was picking him up and moved him from bed to bed. That he was, he's crashing with families when his mom had no money, hiding the welfare check when his boys came over to chill because he didn't want them to see that they were on welfare, etc. Basically, what he's done is he's made some very public statements about the inability of his mother, about the inability of his mom to take care of him, and she has turned around and filed a defamation lawsuit against him, her own son. I don't know what it's worth. I've heard something, I think $10 million sounds about right. Now, this is interesting because on the one hand, we live in a day and age now where everybody is upfront about their upbringing and about how good or how bad it was. Many people like to wring their hands over the fact that their mothers or their fathers weren't there for them, etc. And it becomes very public when you're a public personality, when you're someone whose name is in the news. If you're a celebrity, it becomes public knowledge, and suddenly your very private family life becomes very, very exposed. I suppose it's one thing to talk to your psychiatrist about these things. It might be another thing to talk with your friends about these things. But if you are a famous person and you've got some dish on your parents that is particularly dirty, do you go public with it? Are you allowed? Are there certain rights that you suddenly don't have once you become a public personality? There's a lot of different questions. And then, of course, the question that is still at the center of all of this, is it right to speak about your parents in that way to anybody? Should it just be something that is kept quiet? You deal with it on your own time. You deal with it with your folks. I don't know. Jeff Dowder is a listener of ours who checked in with our producer, and we've received a variety of email on this particular topic, but we want to talk with Mr. Dowder tonight, who is a supporter of at least the right of a young person or a offspring to talk about the inability, perhaps, of one's parents to raise them properly. And he also has a story to tell. Mr. Dowder is a part-time student at UCLA, is also in business himself. He's on the line with us tonight from Temple City, and we welcome you to the show, Jeff. You obviously are in the camp that there's nothing wrong with this.
Well, it's really difficult, Phil, to sort of read these things and reflect on your own life. I think Eminem, who is one of the more interesting new artists come up in a long time, I think he's got a point that you can't just go through life pretending like this stuff didn't happen.
But what about the fact that he is a public personality, that he is a well-known celebrity talking about this?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not a well-known celebrity, and my mother's not well-known, but I could tell you that I had, growing up in my house, similar circumstances, and I do not have any problem whatsoever announcing the name of my mother on your show. And
well, I would, okay, before you do that, I don't want to get any lawsuits going.
No, it's all right. I mean, I'll let her sue me, because I think everybody has a story to tell. And, good for the kids who was raised good by their parents, that's one thing. But if you went through the stuff that I've gone through, then I think you want people to know, because I think it keeps it from happening. And like I said, I've got no problem now. So my mother's name is Renee Dowder, and she lives in Temple City still. And she has been, in my opinion, derelict through my lifetime. And that's one of the reasons why I have been doing some of the talk shows, and I've also talked to some of the newspapers too about it.
Well, you claimed and you made the statement that your mother was sadistic.
My mother was sadistic, yes, sir. And I think she was brutal in a lot of different ways. I think that she, for whatever went on in her life and whatever trauma that she was put through by her own parents, she passed it on to myself, my younger sister, and my younger brother. And there were times when I was growing up that I had to shield my younger brother and younger sister from a lot of things. Anything from forcing us, a lot of these things are kind of painful.
Do you mind talking about them?
I don't mind talking about it, no, because I think I've gotten past a lot of it, and even though it still resonates in a painful way for me, I think I've got past a lot of it. But she was very sadistic, and a lot of times I'd ask myself why. And I never could figure out why. I mean, there were times like when we, on our way to school, you know, she would make us run to the car. We would leave for school, and she would never, ever vary on the time. We'd leave for school. I'll never forget it because it's been branded into my mind. It's just one of those things when you feel the pain, it's like almost like a physical brand. That
what did she do?
Well, we left for school. She never, ever, ever varied from 7:30, and she would leave. She would move. She would pull out of the driveway and go down the street, you know, like 50 or 60 feet, and make us run to the car. You know, and I mean, I look at something like, I think you love your children. I mean, you care about them. Do you see it all, the kind of pain that she inflicts with the way that she fed us? That
let me get into some stuff here. Was your mother on welfare?
My mother was divorced.
So she was on welfare or not?
She was on a kind of welfare, yes, sir. She was on a...
What do you mean by that?
She was taking checks from my father. She's taking checks. Which were at that our child support checks. So in a lot of ways, she's just living on the money of my dad, you know. And
was she working?
She had jobs, you know, but she worked, you know. But she also, I mean, intermittently, she was getting these checks. So she was living on that money, and she had this sadistic thing. I think a lot was anger toward my father.
If we talk about this, is it going to be okay with you?
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I've gotten past a lot of the pain. While it's painful to feel it, I think I understand in a lot of ways where she's coming from.
So apart from the parking the car and making you guys run to the car...
Well, a lot of it still had to do with diet and things. She was very sadistic in the way that she would enjoy watching us, the pain that I went through. And I remember my younger brother crying one night. When she would force, and I told her time and again, I would say things like, and this is a sadistic streak in her, that she would serve like cream corn, or she would go to the store and she'd buy sherbet or something like that. She knew that we hated it. She knew that we didn't want it. And she'd make us. One of the times I came home from school and we were having dinner, and thinking about it now sort of makes me angry at the same time. But I told my mom that my younger brother didn't want tomatoes with his salad, but the sadism of this woman would just continue on. And she put sliced tomatoes up in the salad, but my brother could barely, he didn't like tomatoes in the salad. And this sadistically putting tomatoes in the salad or making sherbet and a cream corn. And she, I mean, one time she made... Wow, you know, a lot of this stuff is coming rushing back on.
Was it so, in other words, in your home, you felt daily tortured by her?
Absolutely, like a lot of kids out there, a lot of adults out there right now who listen to your broadcast of the talk program know what I'm talking about. You know, and you have a mother, and I'd say to her, please, please, and I can remember myself as a little 9-year-old boy saying, please don't make us, I don't want to eat, you know, mayonnaise with tuna or anything. Please don't make me do that. And it didn't matter to her. She'd do it. She'd laugh. There was a sadism to the woman, and there was a brutality to the woman, Phil, that I needed to come to terms with. And that's why I put a lot of that into my book, why she was sadistically, you know, tuna and mayonnaise, tomatoes of the salad, the cream corn thing, which went on and on for years, cream corn and sherbet. And I'll never forget one time, and I put this in the third chapter of my book when I started to come to terms with how sadistic this woman was. And
have you forgiven her?
I have forgiven her, yeah. And I've tried to forgive her, but I had, you know, so many mixed feelings about it. I'd been playing as a 10-year-old boy, and I came in, and she forced me into the bathtub. And I'm sure you've read Sybil, and I'm sure you've read a lot of the books of child abuse. She forced me into the bathtub to take a bath, and it resulted from an inner ear infection that I got. And we were scheduled the following weekend to go to Disneyland. And as a result of the inner ear infection that she had forced upon me, because she made me take a bath, I wasn't able to go on the Star Tours, and I was not able to go on the Matterhorn neither, or any of the rides that I wanted to. And she thought that that was fine, and the sadism in that instant made me come to terms with what I was dealing with. I wasn't dealing with my mother anymore. I was dealing with a monster. And
when we go back to the cream corn incident, or the fact that she made you eat tuna with mayonnaise, you say that you've forgiven her.
I have forgiven her. But I've forgiven her as in that she's a monster. To make a child take, to make me take a bath. And
you had been out playing, right?
We'd been in a vacant lot, yeah. And so I came back home, and she says to me, you've got to get in that tub. You know, she's standing over me with that sadistic look. You have got to get in that tub. And I'm going, please, Mom, don't make me do that. Don't make me go in a bathtub. She made me take a bath. I got an inner ear infection. I never got on Star Tours or none of the rides neither on account.
Why could you not ride Star Tours? Because of the inner ear infection?
Because of the inner ear infection that resulted from the sadism of my mother forcing me into a bathtub and making me have the bath. But a lot of this, we were not allowed to go on those things because she thought it was good and she thought it was funny. And I'd never forget, I was forced to finish a potato salad that we had purchased. And we had gotten a quart, I guess it was about 2 quarts of potato salad for a picnic. My mother occasionally, I guess feeling guilty about the horror that she was putting us through, would try to make up to us and have a picnic. And I took, you know, probably maybe more than I should have the potato salad. I don't know, but she made me eat it all. And I sat there and I cried. I said, please don't make me finish the potato salad. She made me, talking to me the sadistic, cruel way that mothers will. And a lot of abusive parents will do this. And
okay, now you were sitting. You had taken some potato salad and you didn't finish it?
But in the sadistic way that a lot of parents are, yeah, she's making me eat that. And I always... You know, to me, I could never understand it until I understand the nature of the beast. And I list these abuses in my book, and I mention that when you understand the nature of the sadistic parent, and these are evil people, then you understand and you begin on the long journey of healing and the long journey of forgiving what they've done to us. And
well, you've mentioned that she forced you to eat cream corn and sherbet.
That's correct. And tomatoes, which was something my brother could not eat. He didn't want to eat tomatoes, but she would continually put them in the salad.
And that she made you run down to the car?
Yeah, she would park the car 50 feet down the street and make us run because we weren't ready at 7:30. And the sadism of the woman, again, is something I've been able to forgive, but the horror of this is something I don't think that I'll ever be able to forget. And that's what I'm talking about when we talk about these cruel people who are trying to, I don't know, work out their own abuse as a child. And
what about this bath that she made you take? You had been playing in a vacant lot, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Was it dirty out there?
The point is, Phil, that I had begged her, I don't want to take a bath.
How old were you?
At the time, I was 8 years of age. And
can I ask you a question? Is it not natural for an 8-year-old child not to want to take a bath?
But the point is, I didn't want to take a bath. I begged her not to take a bath. As a result of her forcing me into the bathtub, I had an inner ear infection, which kept me from some of the best days of my life, being able to ride some of the rides at the Disneyland and at the Magic Mountain, too. But you need to, and when you read my book, you need to understand that forgiveness is the first step on the road to healing. And I can think back on these events. I can think back on the fact, you know, that she, for instance, as I was saying, she made me finish the potato salad. And that I put butter on broccoli one night and I couldn't finish the butter. She made me eat a whole pat of butter. I don't know if you've ever experienced eating a whole pat of butter. But I've been able to forgive and I'm trying to forget.
Jeff Dowder's with us with a very compelling story. The Child Forgiven is the name of his book. The abuse that he suffered at the hands of his mother. And really a lot of this we were talking about as the result of the Eminem controversy. The rap artist Eminem, who has made allegedly some public statements about his mother. As the result of those, she has filed a lawsuit. Let me ask you this, Mr. Dowder. What if your mother sues you?
Let her. You know, I've forgiven her, but let her sue me. I mean, it's all there in black and white. I know what she did to me. I know that, you know, I know that there was a Christmas that I walked down there. I'd asked for a 10-speed bike, and I walked down that tree one Christmas. It wasn't there. I know the abuse, and I know the sadism. So I say bring it.
The cream corn incident, was that chronic?
That was constant throughout my childhood, as well as when a potato salad. If, all of that, I can tell you, I wanted a 10-speed bike, and I'd asked Santa Claus for a 10-speed bike, and I mean... You know, you come down Christmas Day and there's no bicycle there, and my mother thought that was all. You know, it was like her morality was so warped and her view of life was so warped. And that's part of the forgiveness. That when you say that, you know, when a kid asks for a bicycle for Christmas and now you pull that away, in the kind of sadistic world she lived in, that was good. And that's how I'm, again, dealing with the forgiveness.
All right, let's go to Pasadena on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr., I don't know. I'm sorry that you have to go through all these things, but I've had cases where people didn't even have any food to eat.
I
you
know,
have
yeah.
some to eat.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing.
And you didn't get
corn.
A bike, and you're crying?
I'm sorry?
You didn't get a bike, so your mother was evil?
No, and you have to understand that my mother was... Are you from an abusive home?
No.
All right. Then you need to understand the dynamics of the abusive home. My mother... You know, it was sadistic. I mean, I had asked for a bicycle.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, not everybody was born with a silver spoon in their
mouth. Oh, no, I'm not. I realize that. But, you know, when a kid says,
God.
I wanted it so bad. I want it so bad.
But she couldn't afford it. What
I cried myself
that?
To sleep with a brutal... You've got a brutal mother.
What if she couldn't afford it? What if she couldn't afford it?
I don't know what
it?
That has to do with a child crying himself to sleep. I wanted that bike. I couldn't go to Disneyland on account of the inner ear infection that she gave.
Look, let me tell you.
What?
Man, your mother has done whatever she did, I don't know, but you've come to a point where you can write a book. So she's done something for you, okay? Let me tell you. Some people didn't even get that. To
well, I don't
be able
know
to get to the point where they can write a book.
Well, you're know
spoiled, and then do yourself a favor and write books that can help other people who have been severely tempted.
This is what's going on in America today, the minimization of the abuse that a lot of children go through.
You went to play outside and you were dirty and your mother told you to take a bath and you are telling on her on the radio. Who are you,
but
man?
What I'm just trying to say to you, sir, is that kids who come forward, who have the courage.
I didn't get a bike. I was told to go take a shower. I was given food, but it wasn't the right food I wanted. Look, man, just take a chill pill and grow up.
I'm coming forward with my abuse.
Yes.
Okay.
Your abuse is a spoiled child. That's what you are.
See, that's what that, you know, and I don't want to say anything, sir.
Are
you a father?
Yeah, of course.
Well, then if you think that this is sort of minimizing things, then, you know, I fear for your children.
Oh, wait.
I fear for your children.
Yeah, there you go. Write a better book, okay? You do yourself and everyone in society a very good deal.
This is part of the healing process for me to get this off my chest.
Good, good. But don't try to trust your mother on radio because she asked you to take a shower after you dirty yourself.
No, sir. I didn't say shower. I said bath.
Whatever it is, you were thinking. You were dirty. And you wanted a bike, and she couldn't afford the bike, so she's evil.
She
made you food, and it wasn't a restaurant food, so she was evil.
She put tomatoes on the salad.
What are you doing for your kids? Let me know. Let's write to know.
I've got a hard time having children. I don't want to have children on account of what I went through.
This is the problem society is having today. We have spoiled brats like you out there.
Spoiled brats.
Their parents for the minimum they could do for you.
You're an abusive parent waiting to happen. I hope your children are not going through what tomatoes in the salad. When my brother didn't want the
tomatoes. What about those kids who didn't even get any to eat?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because you don't know anything. Because that's the problem.
Are you saying the gentleman on the line from Pasadena? You're saying that he's whining?
He is. He's whining.
Come on, man! You didn't go what I went through.
You're whining.
I'm whining about what?
Of course, you're making money off your parents for nothing, for having you.
Because
what
I didn't want you. Are you telling me you serve your kids tomatoes with their salad if they don't want it? That's what we're saying.
What if that is all she can afford?
It's part of the healing process that I'm coming for.
What if that is all she could afford you?
Yeah. I appreciate the gentleman's call. 1-800-521-KFI, Orange County, 521-KFI, LA County. The author of The Child Within, Jeff Dowder, is with us recounting the abuse that he claims he suffered at the hands of his mother. I want to ask you, Mr. Dowder, before we go back to the phone calls. You're talking about your mom forced you to eat cream corn. You didn't get a bike for Christmas. And she, I believe it's the other thing here.
Well, let me just say this, Mr. Henry.
No, I want to make sure that I've got it all here. Is she made you run out to the car at 7:30. Would you grant that the other children have gone through worse abuse?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of people in this world, okay? And there's all kinds of...
Yeah, but would you grant other children have gone through worse abuse?
I would grant that, but I'll also say that it is relative to the effect it has on you. One child may go through a different kind of abuse than what I went through, but it is all the same trauma, and it's all the same heartbreak, and it's all the same sadism and brutality. And on the road back to my recovery, I recognized, as I mentioned, when I didn't get the bicycle for Christmas, I recognized the essential sadism of my mother then. And I knew that that was part of her illness. See, once I realized my mother was sick, and once
because you didn't get a bike for Christmas
that I had asked for,
And that you had counted on.
That I had counted on. When I saw that and I knew the depth of my mother's depravity, that's when I think I was on the road to recovery, because I knew that it was basically an illness we were dealing with.
All right, here's Palmdale on KFI. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes.
Okay, in my opinion, I think we need to keep things in perspective here. From what I've heard, I'm not hearing any evidence of actual abuse. I mean, come on, people.
Well, I don't know what your experience was.
Okay, well, let's just talk about what we've heard. I mean, let's talk about mainstream entertainment television, mainstream news television. We hear about kids being locked up, kids being beaten.
Absolutely.
Now that's abuse, granted. From what you're talking about.
There's all forms of abuse, though. I mean, if you.
Sir, and I appreciate that. I agree with. Now, from my personal experience, I don't come from an abusive home. However, there are many things that I didn't get that I wanted. And as a kid, 12 years old.
For instance,
I didn't get a motorcycle at Christmas. Okay.
All right, was that something that you were counting on? Work through it with me. What I'm asking you to do is work through that with me.
Okay,
there is pain that you... All right, you didn't get a motorcycle at Christmas, and you're stuffing that pain.
No, that wasn't that painful. You're talking about having to eat tomatoes, not wanting to eat cream corn. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
There are kids starving out there. There are kids being abused, and you're talking about suffering about vegetables that you don't like.
But you said you wanted that motorcycle, and you haven't worked through the pain of that because of the sadism. We can get through this together, okay?
Okay.
That's what I'm asking to do.
Sadism is a word that's way too strong for the experience that you're describing.
What do you want to work through with this caller?
He said he didn't get a motorcycle that he counted on getting.
No, that was an example.
And
there are many things that I didn't get, and I can understand that, and I appreciate that we as children don't get what we want,
what do you
and
mean
that
about
really upsets us.
What do you mean about the cream corn? Hello?
Done.
Oh, goodbye. Here is Sherman. What was your thought?
My own thought was he was minimizing my experience. And I think the worst thing you can do with any child that has survived abuse is to minimize the experience to the point where they are questioning their feelings. You can never, ever do that to a child. To him, the insignificance of the fact that my mother, in a very sadistic manner, would force the cream corn on us and make us eat the cream corn and the sherbet is an example, again, of her illness. And the trauma that it visited upon me and my brother and my sister is something that's very, very real.
But he thought that was not abuse.
And he's entitled to his opinion. I lived it. I know that it was.
All right, Jeff Dowder is with us. His book, The Child Within, about the road back from abuse. And he is talking about the physical, well, the emotional or whatever abuse he suffered at the hands of his mother. 1-800-521-KFI in Orange County, 521-KFI in LA County. Sherman Oaks on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Yes. I think this guy, I think from his standards that all parents, at least a very large percentage, are sadistic and abusive. I mean, how many kids go through are not given everything that they want? It does not constitute abuse. I can't tell you how many times that I didn't get exactly what I want, but I understood the fact that either they didn't afford it, or because of grades, or because of whatever reason, they didn't think I deserve that. It doesn't constitute abuse.
Well, you tell me if this wasn't abuse, okay? I'll never forget it because 2 days before my 15th birthday, I was going out for B football. I was going to high school here locally in Los Angeles. My friends and I had been talking about this. They had pretty much kind of pushed me into a corner on a particular situation. I went to my mother, and I asked her point blank, and we've all been through this experience. You have too, sir. I asked her point blank, is there a Santa Claus? And she told me, no, there wasn't.
At what age were you?
I was going to my sophomore year in high school, but I remember that I had been lied to by her. That I had been.
And how many parents lie to their kids about Santa
15.
Claus? At some point in life and age, you have to realize that there is no Santa Claus. It's not abuse.
You know, big deal.
Making you aware of what the world is.
When
that's
15,
not abuse.
It means something, okay?
It means what? That
I
all parents lie and they're all abusive?
I wanted her to tell me the truth, and I got to find out that there's no Santa Claus from strangers on the street.
How many kids out there find out from strangers in the street that there's no Santa Claus, that there's no Easter Bunny, there is no Tooth Fairy?
Well, you know, what I'm
saying is... That's not abusive, that's just you know, that's an insensitive friend.
No, but
it's
I will
not abusive by your parents because she gave you a fantasy and some happiness about
the Easter Bunny,
about Santa Claus.
I was going out to be a junior varsity football that year. As a result of that conversation, I couldn't keep my mind on what was going on.
I think as a child of a sophomore, I think as a teenager, you were definitely sheltered at best to still think that there's a Santa Claus.
What do you mean?
He's saying that you were
sophomore year at high school, 15. And you were still believing in Santa Claus?
Okay, so in other words, you're saying what?
You were 15.
I'm saying that at some point in time, whether it's your sophomore year in high school, whether it's
you're eight or nine years old,
at what point do you think it would not have been abusive that she told you it was Santa Claus?
All right, let me ask you a question. Why did she put his name on?
Answer that question.
I'm sorry?
Answer the question.
What is your question?
At what age do you think it would not have been abusive for her to tell you there was no Santa Claus? Or do you believe that
I deal with it in my book. I don't know whether if you want to buy my book, you can read about it. I do deal with that in my book.
I don't want people to go and buy the book. I want to hear the answer the gentleman just asked. At what age do you think it's appropriate?
What we put in our chapters, we say that, you know, once a child has completed higher education, you can begin to sort of filter the information.
At what age?
I'm probably out of college or something like that.
Okay.
So by the time a guy's...
I think what you should do is seek counseling.
She lied to me.
Seek counseling on yourself and not the behavior of your mother. I think that you are sheltered, or I think you are...
I'm suffering from a
lack of attention.
I'm hearing a lot of people who might have been abused themselves, Mr. Henry, tonight because they are minimizing my feelings.
I'm not minimizing your feelings. I'm just trying to understand what constitutes abuse to you because from your standards, I was definitely abused, and I don't feel like that. I feel like
when did you find out?
They made me eat things that I did not want to eat that they thought were good for me, such as greens, such as broccoli.
Why can't you work through that?
I've worked through it because I don't think there's anything to work through.
Do you want
to
share your pain?
I don't. There's no pain to share.
No, you just said you had to eat broccoli.
Making me eat broccoli.
Okay.
I feel at this point in my life was the best thing for me because I know now at the age of 34 that broccoli is a healthy thing to eat.
I just want
to
know you're 44.
And at the age of 7 or 8, that you don't have that understanding and you're not capable of understanding that. And it is our parents' responsibility and job to instill that in us. It's not abuse. It's called parenting.
Would you pray with me?
No, I would not prank with you.
You just got done telling me your parents forced broccoli on you, and I'm saying that we can work through your pain here on the air.
But you're not hearing me.
He's okay with eating broccoli.
It's abusive, but my point is, I don't feel it's abusive.
Let it out, man. That's all I can say to you. Let it out.
Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I got you. I understand.
One heck of a guess
thank
on
you.
Your hand.
Thank you very much for your call.
Denial ain't just a river, my friend, and I think that we deal with that in one of the later chapters in my book.
Okay. Ventura on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm really wondering how...
I didn't get my question answered, by the way. Pardon me for interrupting the lady for a moment. At what age should a child be told there is no Santa Claus?
I think I answered. I think, you know, once they're out of the home and they've established themselves...
What, like 21, 22?
I don't know. I mean, that's very relevant. But I know that I found out there wasn't Santa Claus. I was, you know, it was sadistic.
Yes, ma'am?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I have to really wonder how old you are. I tried to decide to...
I'm 28.
You're 28?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, from the sounds of it, in the examples that you give, it doesn't to me at all sound like you were you had a hard time growing up.
This is denying my feelings.
Well,
feelings.
When you make them public and you go on a talk radio show, you're offering yourself to other people's opinion.
Well, why did she put his name on the presents?
I actually didn't hear that part of your example.
She put Santa Claus's name on every present I got, and then the sadism comes in, and this is where I've forgiven my mother, is that she tells me that he doesn't exist. And this is where I've forgiven her, but a pain still exists.
She put his name on the presents.
But Jeff, really, you take these baby steps. It's called growing up, and then you realize that maybe your mom didn't
get through it. Yeah, I'm trying to get through it.
Maybe your mom didn't have, you know, the economical.
Thank you for understanding, at least. Thank you. This lady understands where I'm coming from.
No.
I don't know that she does. I think she's being gentle with you. I think that...
Well, Mr. Ray, are you going to minimize my feelings, too? Everybody minimize my feelings.
Well, I'm not minimizing your feelings. My parents put Santa Claus's name on all of the presents, too.
Then why aren't you talking about it?
But can I just say something?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I have two kids. I have two kids, and, you know, they're not as cooperative as I'd like them to be. And I know that when you say it's time to be in the car at 7:30, and they're not because they're watching television.
What about cream corn? What about the sherbet? What about tomatoes in the salad?
But it's called
nobody's
learning
addressed
curve.
The mayonnaise. No one's addressed the mayonnaise, and that hurts.
Well,
I'll address the mayonnaise, pal. I happen to like mayonnaise in my tuna. What about that?
You want to deny your feelings, man, that's your business.
Deny my feelings. Yeah, I'm in all kinds of pain, man. Mayo in the tuna. Now, talk to Schaefer. He considers that child abuse. Jeff Dowder is on the line. He's written a book, The Child Within, about the abuse that he suffered at the hands of his mother. You claim that she put Santa Claus's name on Christmas presents and that that was abuse.
And also what I'm getting here tonight is that there's an awful lot of people, and in a lot of ways yourself included, Mr. Henry, who are not hearing my feelings and are denying my feelings. And
I understand you have feelings. I'm wondering if you're not a little hypersensitive, given the fact that you're calling putting tomatoes in salad abuse.
I'm calling traumatizing children repeatedly this way is sadistic, but the road back is forgiveness. And that's what I'm trying to stress on the show tonight.
Okay, here is Ojai on KFI. Hello.
Yes, sir, I am counselor.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm trying to understand.
What kind of counseling do you do?
I do marriage and family counseling, MSCC, LCS.
Okay.
And I'm trying to understand how you wrote a book about this.
If you're in counseling, you understand what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, when you were given the cream corn, did your mother beat you to swallow it or something?
What I'm saying here is the denial, the sadism of giving the kid that.
That's sadistic to give a child cream corn. I was given liver. I don't look at that as abuse.
There's a lot of people called the show tonight and said, you know, this is what happened to me. That's fine. I mean, if you want to talk it out, we can talk it out.
I don't need to talk it out.
But why'd she lie to me? Why'd she lie to me? And that's what I'm talking about.
About Santa Claus?
Well, she put, that's the larger issue, yeah.
So that really hurt you, that she told you Santa Claus those presents. That hurt you?
So in other words, tell a kid about Santa Claus and then tell a kid he doesn't exist and let him just go and pretend like that's okay? That's what you're saying? That's like taking a knife and sticking it right into my heart.
Well, most children, when they get to a certain age, they realize that there isn't Santa Claus.
Well, I don't know what kind of counselor you are, but... I don't know.
I'm a very good counselor.
She's a counselor, who obviously.
I deal with people who are abused. Was your mother an alcoholic?
What about the debt? My mother was on welfare.
You said your mother took child support checks from your father.
That's correct.
You call that welfare?
What do you call it?
I call it child support checks from your dad.
Yes, he's supposed to support you.
That's welfare, man. That's welfare.
You're his son.
Sherbert?
I have a question.
Sherbert? You're right.
Sherbert? What is wrong with Sherbert? I love Sherbert.
Then, lady, you've got to get back into some counseling yourself and work it out.
I like chocolate ice cream, too. I really have a problem.
Yeah, I think you do. And tell me all about how you like mayo in your tuna fish.
I love mayo in my tuna fish. And I like relish in my tuna fish, too. That's really sick.
It's a classic abuse cycle. And a lot of people it's like the Stockholm Syndrome. You identify with the people that have brutalized you. And sherbet's the devil's ice.
Well, you know what? I'm going to agree with one thing here. Sherbert sucks. Everything else you mentioned, I dig. Thank you for your call, ma'am. Good luck with your book.
Oh, you're going to deny my feelings, too, right?
Yeah, I just denied your feelings. Oh, mother dear, please listen and talk to me about